Going to call the order the April 5th, 2023 Ventura Park District Open Meeting. Could I have a Pledge of Allegiance, please? We'll all stand. Chris?
Ready? Begin.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic on which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Brennan?
Present.
Commissioner Rainey?
Present.
Commissioner Stevens?
Here.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Here.
And Chair Blumenberg?
You're on mute.
Thank you. I'm present, but present virtually, participating from the Royal Sonesta Hotel in St. Louis, and I did leave a copy of the board agenda at the front desk and a copy on the front on my hotel room door in case there's any interested parties in St. Louis that want to join us.
Thank you.
Want to order a pizza? All right. Adoption of the agenda.
I move the agenda as proposed.
Second.
And we'll be doing a roll call vote.
I will eventually have my own microphone. Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
Okay. I have a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved. Second.
Roll call vote.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
And Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
All right. We now have public communications, and this is a period set aside to allow public testimony on items not on today's agenda. All right. It appears that we have one, Andres Fernandez.
Commissioners have been around here and then to the public.
Oh. Press the button, please.
Thank you. Is this thing on? Okay. Hi.
There you go.
All right, commissioners, general manager, and managers of the harbor. I'm coming here to speak about the lawsuit that the harbor has against me. And I don't know where to go with some of my concerns, because the way things are right now, I'm not having any communication with anyone other than lawyer Andy. And it's been very difficult to be able to communicate a lot of the things that I have to talk about. And so I find that it's compounding the problem and getting worse. Aside from the fact that I would just like to say that I've been here for 16 years. And in 16 years, I've had three different businesses, and I've taken my businesses all from the time that I came here. The Comedy Club was a business that was doing $200,000 a year that we turned around. And when my former partner abandoned it, I stayed in that business and I paid down as much as I possibly could till the very end, when even though I knew I was leaving, I could have done something to with 3 months worth of rent, but I paid everything that I had to pay, even to the last minute that I had a broken window that I paid $1,000 to fix. My business is downstairs. That was a t-shirt shop that I turned into a bar. And then I bought out the sushi restaurant and turned that into the Cuban restaurant. I've been here for 15 years, 16 years. In this time, I've also been on the radio, on KVTA, every week. And I've been promoting not only my businesses, but all the businesses in the harbor. I've given my time. I've given my money. I've given my attention to anyone. You ask the city center, we just did a thing for them that I donated, where they raised $10,000. I've given to the foster children's. I have so many people in this community that know what I've done for them. And now, during a state of emergency that our governor claimed, California, that now there's an SBA loan that I'm applying for, that they're willing to give me up to $200,000 because of the state of emergency that Governor Newsom says we're under. And because I'm 2 months behind on January and February, that my sales were down 30%, I'm being sued. And my business is in jeopardy. And I feel like it's hard for me to not take it personal. After everything that I've given, after everything that I've done, you know, I'm far from perfect, but I've given my absolute all to my businesses, and I've dedicated all my time to it. I think that that I'm being unfairly scrutinized, and I believe that if anybody really wanted to look at everything that I've done in 16 years, at how many people I've made laugh, I've had 500 people a week would be an average, 6-7 shows a week over 16 years, what I've done for this community, and now in a state of emergency, because we just did not have the money. January, we rang up $30,000 that we normally did $50,000. February, I just didn't have the money. I'm trying to make ends meet. I'm trying to find my way. And on top of it, it's being compounded more with these late fees. I'm trying to catch up. I'm trying to do it. On top of it, I also want to inform everyone that there's also an ERC that I never received, that I was supposed to receive from the employee retention from COVID. And I never received it. It's coming to me now. And this money, I have it documented. We filed it. And I can prove that this money's coming to me. But still, I believe that with all of this, I should be given the benefit of a doubt. And I'd like you to drop that lawsuit immediately and somehow find a way to be able to communicate with me so that I could rectify this and I can fix this and continue running my business. We're in the very beginning of the summer. You know, I've struggled through this whole winter. I've charged everything to stay alive, to keep myself going. And right now, we just 2 weeks ago, with the weather starting to change, we just started generating money. We just started doing. Last week, we did $18,000 in 1 week. That normally right now, that's, I'm starting to get those numbers again. But I had to get through. I mean, and it's not been January, February, since October. Since October, the weather. And my restaurant is also 80% outdoor seating. It's not like any other restaurant here in the harbor. So the weather impacts me. And there's just nothing I can do. I don't go on vacation. I don't have fancy cars. I dedicate everything to my business.
Thank you for coming in and speaking with us.
Thank you.
Now this is a closed session report.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. A closed session was held as set forth on the closed session agenda. The board heard a report on each of the items, gave direction to staff on items 1 and 2, and gave direction to the ad hoc committee on item number 3. No action was taken that is reportable under the Brown Act.
Thank you. Now we are at board communications. This is an opportunity for commissioners to present brief reports on port issues that may be of interest to everyone. Brian?
I'll go ahead and start out. Chair Blumenberg certainly was in Washington, D.C., I think 2 weeks before I was, but he was there with CMAQ, and I was there in my capacity as a consultant to the Beach Erosion Authority here in Ventura County. I was interesting to see in interaction with the Corps of Engineers and with the Bureau of Reclamation and with FEMA, the opportunities for the beneficial reuse of sand and sediments, and willing to take a look at the size, grain size, and also the fact that sand and sediment is not necessarily a hazardous material, which, interestingly enough, we all know that sand and sediment, we dredge our harbor, we put it on our beaches, just saved our beach, and certainly it moves down the coast and works to save the rest of the beaches down coast. But over time, we've been dealing with more and more regulation, our beaches have been shrinking to the point that some of the sediments and things are having to put offshore, out of the nearshore environment where they can affect and really be a buffer for sea level rise. So I think that's very beneficial, and I'm looking forward to joining Mr. Blumenberg at the brewery of his choice so we can talk about a strategy to go after this together. So I want to let everybody know. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
And that was not on the Port District's dime, by the way. Thank you.
Other comments? Mike?
So Commissioner Rainey and I enjoyed an invitation from the Venturi Yacht Club to join them for their opening day. Great ceremony. I appreciated the throwback and the tradition. It reminded me of my Navy days. So it was very well done, quite enjoyable. Commissioner Rainey, you want to add anything to that?
I wasn't ready for the cannons. Yes. Not the first time.
Right.
The second time I was. No, it was very enjoyable, and I can say that from where you sat, the port just looked absolutely fabulous, gorgeous it was.
Thank you. I'll just add that I was able to come down to the port for lunch with a colleague, and it was at a time when there was some jackhammering being done, and it really brought to light the noise pollution question that's going to be part of the Ventura Pure work. And so it made me very aware of the disruption to local businesses with that kind of sound. So it was good for me to come down and experience that. All right, hearing nothing more, staff and general manager reports.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I've got a couple of items here, actually a couple related to dredging as well. On March 28th, our marketing department had worked with ABC Channel 7 News, and they came down to cover Ventura Harbor Beach replenishment and the dredging, and also the cleanup related to the recent rain events. Todd and I were both interviewed by the broadcast journalists, if any of you know Sid Garcia out there. And segment ran three times throughout the day to showcase the newly restored beaches and share the positive environmental impacts to the beaches and dunes, as well as show off the beaches just prior to spring break. Just today, today's Ventura Breeze on the cover is featuring Ventura Port District and the same topic. The title is Ventura Port District's Maintenance, Dredging, and Beach Renourishment. Details the current dredge efforts and historical overview of the Army Corps' work effort, along with the congressional funding history and local benefit, both for navigational safety and beach nourishment. So I thought it was a very well done article, and a very lengthy article, giving a lot of great history as to the why and how and who does this great work every year. On a different note, KHEY 100.7 FM, Ventura County's number one radio station, was on site last Saturday with live remote to attract customers to come to the village to enter to win concert tickets to Stagecoach Festival and draw on visitation for spring break. Kid Scavenger Hunt from March has been extended for 2 weeks in April due to popularity with families. And earlier today, the marketing team hosted an excellent day seaside scavenger hunt, focused on attracting midweek business as visitors search for one of more than 100 eggs. Once they found one, they scanned a QR code to be entered in to win $25 Village Dining gift cards, plus a large gold egg was hidden in a village retail shop, giving customers the chance to enter to win a one-hour electric boat rental with Ventura Boat Rentals, while drawing customers to browse the village retail shops from noon to 5. The pre-promotion for the scavenger hunt drew over 8,000 posts on social media, very strong support of that. This coming weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, the harbor is hopping with a larger live music group performing in the Channel Islands courtyard, and photo ops set up with Cottontail Day Bunny on the promenade stage, free for kids. So a lot going on this week. And that is my report.
Any questions? No? Thank you. All right. Now moving forward with the consent agenda. Matters appearing on the consent calendar are expected to be non-controversial and will be acted upon by the board at one time without discussion. So do I have any public comments for any items that are on the consent agenda?
There are no public speakers.
Thank you. I'll close public comment and ask.
Madam Chair, I'll move the item presented.
Second.
Roll call vote.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardina?
Yes.
Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
Now we're going to move forward with the standard agenda.
Okay, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Agenda item one this evening, I want to give a little bit of background here. Recommendation for you tonight is the Board of Port Commissioners receive a presentation on the proposed sign design concepts for the northwest corner of Harbor Boulevard and Schooner Drive on the district's parcel 19A. In summary, Coastal Architects was retained by the district to prepare multiple design concepts for a new sign. Jeff Zook, CEO and principal architect, is here with us this evening. We'll present the sign concepts and receive feedback from the board, stakeholders, and staff. Afterwards, Jeff will refine the design and then return to the board for final concept approval at a future meeting. A little bit of background here. The board approved the inclusion of design costs for a new entryway sign to be located on parcel 19A at Harbor and Schooner as part of the 22-23 mid-year budget approved, I believe it was in February. The proposed location is on district-owned property. With that, I will say the exact location is going to be subject to existing easements that do run through that property. Separately, we are having Jensen Engineering and Design Survey evaluate those easements and identify the locations that will be best suitable for the sign placement. So understand the exact location is not known tonight, but you'll have a sense of where we're shooting for in general area. The purpose of the sign is to provide a sense of identity as a destination and an entry point for the North Harbor area, which is home to, as we all know, a growing number of businesses, residents, and harbor activities. Coastal Architects, by way of background, developed the new paint and sign program for the village on behalf of the districts, including the exterior paint program, awnings, wayfinding signs, and the tenant sign criteria that was approved by the City of Ventura. In terms of fiscal impact, as part of that adoption of the mid-year budget, there was $25,000 set aside for preliminary design costs for the sign. And at that time, we modified the five-year capital improvement plan to include $75,000 in the next fiscal year, 23-24. For sign construction. That's a very preliminary number. Obviously, the final costs will be determined as we go through the design process and get more refinement in terms of the project build out and total scope. So with that, I'd like to offer up Jeff to come up and give us a presentation on concepts. This is the fun part of the presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. Nice to see you all again. Commissioner Rainey, that cannon gets me every time. I don't think you're ever prepared.
That's right.
So you're not alone. Thank you very much. So where we're talking here is Schooner and Harbor. I proposed or developed, I think, six or seven concepts. And what I'm going to present to you tonight is a walkthrough, sort of a narrative of how these designs were created. And what I want to emphasize is they're not prepackaged designs. So if you see something you like on one sign, we can incorporate that. So bits and pieces, you can just what I'm looking for is share your thoughts so we can come back one more time with the final design and move this down the road. So why don't we move to the first concept design and talk through this a little bit. So as you're all aware, this corner of the entrance on Harbor has a existing retaining wall or more of a ornamental wall. It kind of goes with the four-point Sheraton. It's got a rock base. So this first sign concept, very simple, clean. It's using some of the materials that are existing. So it would be a rock base similar to what's there. I don't think we can quite replicate that, but we'll get close. And a marquee area. The Eat, Shop, Boat, Play, Stay is similar to the marketing campaign that the village is using right now. So we're just using some of those lingo, but that can be what it is. At the top of this particular monument sign would be, and by the way, all of these signs are double-sided. So these are oriented to face the traffic north-south. So this sign would be the Harbor North is would be backlit or halo lit against a blue background. So you can, if you kind of see in that image, you can kind of see the halo lighting behind each letter. The main marquee area, each shot, boat, play, stay, that would just be a plaster background similar to the curb that's on top of the existing. Okay. Take a moment to digest that, and we'll move on to the next slide. Very good. So incorporating a little bit different materials, some more texture here. What we have here would be a concrete base, fluted concrete, something that's textural, a little bit different than we've seen in either the Ventura Harbor Village or Harbor North. And then the top of the sign would be an acrylic, a printed acrylic or plastic background, sort of an ocean going from the depths of the sea to the surface. The all the colors can be changed here. This would be sort of a burnt rust color, something like that, with the compass row sort of pulling off of the Harbor North. Very good. Next slide. Thank you. The base here would be what we're calling sedimentary concrete. You've actually seen it in the village quite a bit. I don't know what you call sort of the main plaza there in front of Margaritaville, but all of those sort of kelp bases are sedimentary concrete. The new monument, the wayfinding signage that we did out in the village, that has a sedimentary concrete base. So here we're going to pull some of that, do a sedimentary concrete base or a marquee. And the word harbor, big and bold, that has multiple depths. So the background there, again, an ocean scene, plastic, acrylic material, the harbor, the letters in the front would be backlit. Again, I want to make sure you understand the backlight idea. Nothing is box lit. So these aren't acrylic. It's not a strip mall where you would see the face of the letter glowing. All right, it's subtle, just the back of the letter glows. In front of the harbor would be ornamental metal sort of crashing waves. Might need to zoom in, but I think you guys can see that. Okay, next slide, please. Playing off, again, the same base, but maybe going a little bit higher and separating the word harbor and the word north. This the sign above the base has a little bit more texture and layering. So again, the words harbor backlit against a dark background with sort of crashing waves along the top. That could be lit, edge lit, making a real neat sort of effect with crashing waves coming across the top. And then in front of all of that, I was picturing cut metal. A cut metal sort of bottom of the sea with, and you can sort of see, and we have schools of fish in the front of the harbor sign. All right. And next. A little bit more simple sign, basic shapes, using the base of the rock work again, marquee sign with a darker background, and then sort of a scallop approach with Harbor North. And then what you're not seeing is behind that blue base would be uplights showing the Harbor North. So that's the difference here, is using a little bit different lighting technique versus the backlighting of the other signs. I think that's our last concept. So we can, I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot. I took this slide number 2 and changed it with a little bit simpler colors, sort of mimicking the residential development down the street. With blue, I think that's all blue letters. So I think we maybe flip back and forth through the slides or look for general comments and open for discussion. Thank you very much.
Questions from the commission?
Question. Is this something that you have thought would be done elsewhere in the property? I mean, is this going to become a standard for other locations, or is this a one-off?
I'm happy to.
Well, what we have in the 5-year CIP is looking at the main entryway at Spinnaker Drive as well. So it could very well be that organically and otherwise that this could begin to help to look at design in other areas. But we did approach it a little bit as a standalone from the perspective of trying to create a little bit of its own identity for this part of the harbor. So it was a little bit of, okay, do we want to inform the next sign, say at Spinnaker, if we, you know, go through the effort, which is planned to begin looking at that in terms of future design, or do we have it sort of tell its own story and be its own sign? So there's a little bit of both there. What I didn't want to do is get bogged down with the rest of the harbor, given the amount of enthusiasm for new signage at this part of the harbor, and let it sort of happen a little bit organically.
Right.
Maybe one other comment, which is that there's wayfinding sign that is already throughout the harbor. And we're actually adding three additional locations for that. And those are on metal poles, and they're metal fabricated signs. And those have a look that is consistent with the city, city signs that are pointing to the harbor as well outside of the harbor. So there are signs throughout the harbor that point to a lot of different things that are more specific than this. This is more trying to again, sort of create a sense of entry as opposed to, you know, go this way to see this exact thing or go that way to see that exact thing.
Brian?
Well, Chris, great question for sort of the clarification. And Brian, thank you. I you know, great designs all. The idea that tying in, I think maybe the base, I think the first slide was sort of mimicking what's there, sort of the original, I think the thought was to be sort of the Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, idea of the wood and back when it was built in 83. But I always thought that rock work always looked good. Perhaps the pedestal is that, and then we work on some consistent messaging. Maybe the top half is consistent messaging down at Spinnaker, because that's really what I was thinking. But also, again, I've been in and out, and I apologize if I missed the meeting. Harbor North, are we designating these areas already in our wayfinding? I think that was part some of it, and I love it because it gives some definition. But I was thinking that because it's now designed by committee, so hang on. the idea that I like this, and then moving the north where you had the north down, I thought that was sort of secondary, which I wouldn't be as confusing. I think there was the one that was down on the pedestal. Mm-hmm. To me, something along that line, a little, something like that would be, and then maybe in the other, obviously then at the other side, you know, the harbor south would say maybe the same thing, but maybe the pedestal will be a little different for Spinnaker. But I like where we're going on it. I like too much ornate on the top in my mind. I think it's lost. The cleaner we can keep it, and maybe just a little more the definition of, I like the idea of, you know, if there's any way of getting, I just love how copper interacts with Mother Nature and the patina. And I don't know if that becomes, you know, if that is something that can be worked into it too. But I just know, and I see it around harbors in a number of different places, and it's sort of that organic feel of signage. So
it's very nautical too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Copper feel, so maybe some of that can be in there. So thank you.
Other questions or comments before public comment? Okay. This is informational only, but I did want to give the public an opportunity to comment. Are there any public comments?
Yes, I have Michael Sonderman on Zoom. Give me 1 minute. Michael, you can speak.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know if you can see me, but first of all, I'm very, very excited and grateful for staff of preparing this great presentation. It's long overdue. The North Harbor is really a non-entity. There's substantial investments that have been made in the North Harbor. I think a sense of arrival is certainly overdue. And I think we're headed in the right direction. What I'd like to suggest to the, both Jeff and the Port District would be really nice to hold some type of a small charrette for the interested parties, the master lessees in the North Harbor to get their input before literally this is, becomes cast in stone. And that's my comment.
Thank you, Michael. Any other public comment?
We also had a written comment from Marlis Astor, President and CEO of Visit Ventura, which was distributed to the commission and posted on the website.
Thank you.
I'll jump in. How should I put it? We know that there's a lot of residents, even of Ventura, that really don't even know where the harbor is, right? And so that's one of the things that we've been kind of grappling with, and I think our marketing people have done a great job. But I guess my concern here is that if I see a sign like this, I'm going to make a right thinking I'm going to the village. And so I'm a little concerned about the message here. I completely agree with Michael. We need something here. It needs, and I like it. And Harbor North is something, a term we're kind of growing,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
But I'm afraid if someone sees Eat, Shop, Boat, Play, Stay, they might think they're going to the village. And I'm concerned about how we distinguish the two. And then my other comment kind of from a design standpoint is we have the, and I know in the future we're going to be looking at the main entrance there on Spinnaker, but that entrance is not unlike what we have at Portside. I mean, there it's a pretty elegant, we'll call it, sign there, and maybe we need to think of it in that term a little bit more. I don't know how to. I'm not articulating this well, but I guess we've spent a lot of time. I mean, Portside's a wonderful, beautiful development. With your assistance, I mean, I think we're trying to really, the village now is much right. cleaner and, you know, look than it was before. And it'd be nice if we can make sure we kind of stay in that lane that we're trying to create. And some of these that I think you're trying to take in the nautical element, which I like, but also, I mean, they're a little theme parky for me. And I think we're going for something a little
Yep.
better than that.
Absolutely correct. It was I was pulling everything out and going theme parking.
That's good. I mean, they need to be in there. That's not a criticism of what you're doing. It's just
it's good feedback.
Personal opinion is I think we need to, you know, kind of take it to a little nicer level. And I don't know if those are going to be helpful.
No, that's helpful. Yep.
And then maybe in response to Michael, certainly if we get to the point where we're down to a couple that we feel we're really strongly about, sharing them with our stakeholders and getting their thoughts, I think it's something we should be doing. Thank you.
Jackie, can I jump in there?
Yeah, Mike.
Appreciate all of Chris's comments and agree 100%. I like the idea of getting our master tenants, giving them some input on this. They're key stakeholders, right? As I look at the things, a couple of things that, as I listen to Chris's comments, what I don't see in this presentation is a reminder of what we have at the main harbor entrance now. I think one of your comments was there ought to be some consistency. And I would agree. I don't recall what is there at the main entrance. So I'd like to see that and look for some consistency on that same theme. You know, I love the kelp signs that are now popping up throughout the village. My initial thought is I like the sedimentary concrete because it's consistent with that. But then I heard Brian Brennan's talk about that wall that's out there currently. And I wouldn't want things to compete with each other, right? We don't want the different looks to compete with each other. So that's just we gotta take those design elements into context. And I trust that we're hiring people who are smarter on that kind of stuff than I am. The things that I saw that I liked, I thought the wave was cool. I thought the compass was pretty cool, but the compass that pops out where there was a different color, that worked. The compass where it kind of blended in a little bit, I didn't think that worked as well. So those are my, and then a final question is, Now, where does it say Ventura? And I always talk about Ventura Harbor. Is it kind of self-evident to have that we don't need to say Ventura, or should we consider putting Ventura Harbor in there? I'll end on that question.
I can simply put it in. I think the entry on Spinnaker, I'm not sure, does that say Ventura?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. To address Commissioner Stevens' comment, as far as, you know, people turning in here and thinking they're in the village, perhaps one of these wayfinding things on the marquee would be similar to Spinnaker, would be village this way, right? Harbor North this way. Could address that. But, you know, I'm happy to add some concepts that say Ventura Harbor North. But then again, the other side of that, it might be redundant. But hopefully you know where you're at.
And just one of the things I liked about getting feedback from this, some of the city's plans, was they had a QR code that you could scan and then vote on which particular kind of design you liked. Would it be possible for us to engage broader than just the master tenants, just to get public input on that more broadly?
My preference would be to narrow this down before having any kind of public charrette. I mean, I would say that this meeting, like any other, is publicly advertised. The information is put out. The master tenants and everyone was specifically told that this was going to be on here, not just receive the agenda, but separately receive information. So this is a great opportunity to provide that feedback. I don't know that I'd want to put six out on the website and have people start voting on six different
things. No, absolutely.
That haven't gone through more refinement.
First. Yeah.
The idea of a charrette, generally speaking, I don't have an issue with.
Yeah, I think it was in some ways having the public take ownership of how we're naming or presenting the harbor and bringing attention to it in a new and different way. Like Mike, I feel much better with someone else kind of on the aesthetics, but appreciate everything that you brought forward. I don't know if there's any other comments or questions before we move.
Yeah, although I like that, it reminds me of a sign. I don't know why. I like either the wave or something like that. I mean, yeah, Harbor North and whatever, but it's just rather, to me, rather plain.
Basic.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not the person to talk about aesthetics. That we really need some experts on that, or well, people with a good taste. I
understand.
I'm not the, you know, my wife won't even let me paint. So, but definitely. And then the other thing that was mentioned before is, are we going to have any consistency in the future with these, or is there going to be, does it blend in with whatever the surroundings are, wherever we put other signs? But I do think that it really makes it stand out. And I do like that fitting in with the brick and everything like that.
Yeah, and I don't know, I guess if this comes back to us, if you think this is doable, I'd kind of like to see an option with maybe across the top, a large Ventura Harbor, and then what you have beneath it is Harbor North, right, Harbor Village straight, something that would address what I'm afraid is going to be a little confusion that we might create. Do you think there's enough room for something like that?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I mean, you basically replace Harbor North here with Ventura Harbor. And then on the marquee is where you start putting some directional arrows. The village this way, Harbor North this way,
really, shopping done. That's probably about it. I mean, those are the two things that I think people might get confused by. But anyway, that's something like that. That does concern me, that people are just going to make it right here thinking they're going to the village. You know?
Right, because it's quite a modernization of what's happening on Spinnaker. you know, Spinnaker is, of course, really large walls. You've got some sort of ornamental lighthouses going on there. This was intentionally different. But now we'll kind of go back to the drawing board and think, all right, if this element does become part of the standard, we want to make sure it works throughout. Right.
Yeah. That's why I asked that first question, because the entry now, actually, as you're heading down harbor, which I think is probably maybe not the primary, but I mean, it's certainly a big part of where people are coming from. It's actually on the low wall over on the side here.
Oh, yeah, it's buried.
Mm-hmm. So whatever we do here, to me, makes sense to become something more at that corner, right? That'll announce the village even greater than it is today.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And just on that last thought, and we don't have to accept what's there and build off it, but maybe build off something new and cleaner.
True.
And as Chris said, the look in the harbor is definitely looking cleaner, and just that just has a different feel. So if we're going to do that, I think Spinnaker would be the place to be able to make that happen initially too. And so what you see there doesn't have to necessarily stay there. The old lighthouses and things like that, I think that was all part of the old sort of the New England villages, Oceanside Harbor. So, I mean, just about every harbor up Shelter Island, all of them. It was just but I think now it's we're looking for our own identity. And I think certainly something like this is a major step in the right direction. So right. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for the feedback.
This was just informational only. So all set? Okay. All right. So we'll move forward with the agenda. We now have a presentation on the Ventura Water Pure Ocean Outfall Project. Brian?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. A couple of things before we start the city's presentation. Tonight, we'd ask that the board receive a presentation regarding the status of the Ventura Water Pure Ocean Outfall Project. It is informational in nature tonight. A quick summary, Ventura Water Pure is the city's potable water reuse program that will recover, treat, and reuse water that is currently being discharged to the Santa Clara River estuary to provide new drought-resilient water supply, improve water quality, and meet legal and regulatory requirements. City has brought two presentations to the board, both on October 19th and April 6th, regarding proposed realignment of the Water Pure project through the harbor. City is returning to provide another update on the project, including information on both permanent and temporary construction easements, the updated schedule, and the status of their permitting. Use of the Port District's property under master lease will require future district property and properties that are under master lease will require future Commission consideration of construction and permanent easements. City intends to abandon one existing easement as part of the project. Linda Szymanski, who is at the podium, is here tonight to give a presentation. She's the program director for Ventura Water Pure. So with that, I'll turn it to Linda.
Great. Thank you very much. Good evening, commissioners. I'm Linda Szymanski. As Brian said, I'm the Ventura Water Pure program director. And if you want to go to the next slide, Jessica. Thank you. Our goals this evening are to provide you with an update. We, of course, want to continue to build our collaborative relationship and foster two-way communications with you, and, of course, capture any concerns that you have. For our agenda, we're going to be looking at the various pieces of the Outfall Project. I'll be covering basically three contracts that will be put together to build the entire outfall project. And then we'll take questions and comments at the end. So just to define for everyone, the three pieces of the outfall project, we will be having three contracts to actually build the entire outfall. We're calling contract B, the ocean outfall and harbor crossing, and that is in the light blue on this picture. There is an onshore pipeline portion that will be in Anchors Way in Schooner and Harbor Boulevard. That will be constructed under a separate contract that we're calling Contract A. And then at the parking lot at the corner of Schooner and Harbor, there is a third project, which we're calling Contract 19A. I'll talk about that a little bit more in detail later, but it will be the temporary boat storage. So I wanted to talk about contract B first. It comprises the ocean outfall and the harbor crossing. This picture is an overview of the whole area. So the areas in light blue and then the portion out in the ocean are the pieces that comprise the harbor crossing and the ocean outfall. So we'll go a little bit more detail into the ocean work. So this portion is actually comprised of the pipeline that will be put in, start at Marina Park, and will extend out into the ocean about 1,600 feet. The first portion of it from Marina Park to the ocean, about 4,500 feet, will be a horizontal directional drill. So we would be drilling down through Marina Park and then come up about 4,500 feet later on the ocean floor. We'll then have a piece that lays on the ocean floor. And then finally, at the very end, there's a portion called the diffuser. That's where the water will actually be diffused into and kind of dispersed into the ocean. So for Marina Park, I didn't want to spend a lot of time on this piece, but you can see the area in Marina Park where we will be setting up to do the horizontal directional drill. That will be the horizontal directional drill out to the ocean. This will also be the starting area for the horizontal directional drill that will go under the harbor. So we will be taking up about half of the park area. It will be surrounded by about a 20-foot sound wall. That comes from a sound study that we did conduct to try and minimize the decibel levels to the neighborhood and the area. In the parking lot area, we will be taking the back portion of the parking lot at Marina Park as a staging area for the contractor. What you see there is pipe, so we will be staging our pipe there and actually building it there. So this will be the pipe that will be pulled back through our horizontal directional drill. We'll be pulling it back from the ocean to Marina Park. It also will be where we're going to build the seafloor piece of the outfall. Wanted to spend a little bit more time on this piece because this is the actual impact to the harbor. We did spend some time working with the Port District staff on setting this up. We understand that the harbor should be able to remain open. And so what you're seeing as the crosshatch area there is the area that will be available for folks to continue to use the harbor as we're actually pulling the pipeline out from Marina Park out to the ocean. So the pipeline itself will be basically the top part of that hatch closest to the jetty, and it's got a little white label on it. So we believe we'll need to pull two pieces of pipe out. One will be the 4,500 feet. The other one will be about the 2,100 feet from Marina Park. Our estimate is that it will take approximately one day to pull that pipe from Marina Park out into the ocean. We will, as I said, keep that crosshatch area open. The contractor will be staging probably some sort of boats in that area. I'm not sure exactly what type, but the pipe that we are pulling is flexible, so that we actually can keep it contained to a particular area of the harbor. So we think that this is a very doable thing. The timing that we are looking at, and again, this is our best estimate. I mean, the contractor, when they are on board, will give us a more definite idea. But we believe that this will be happening in the December timeframe. And, you know, understanding that, of course, the Parade of Lights is a very big deal for the harbor area. We have actually written into our specifications that they may not work from Thursday to Sunday of that period of the Parade of Lights. So we will definitely be working around that.
Sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
At that narrow point, the narrowest point that is available, how wide is that? Just for, do you have any idea there? Just north of, just on the other side of this building. That's your narrowest right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say I don't know what it is off the top of my head. I can certainly get that number for you. I know that we did look at some of the Department of Boating and Waterways regulations, and it needed to be at least 169 feet. And I do believe that this is much larger than that. But I would have to get back to you on that. Sorry. So, of course, like I said, we would be keeping the pipe to one side of the harbor, and then, of course, coordination as to with the harbor community when this would be happening. For the diffuser section, this section is a little bit more complex. It is not just pipe. There are some other pieces associated with it. We weren't able to launch that from the Marina Park area, so we are working with Port District staff to use the area where the dredging operation takes place. This is at the end of Spinnaker and the Harbor Cove area. That piece of pipe is only about 250 feet, so it's a much shorter piece of pipe. We feel it can be easily built and launched in this area. And you can see, how we would be pulling it off of the beach in this area. Again, we would be making sure that we maintain harbor access. You know, again, the contractor will supply some sort of ability to be able to kind of contain that pipe to one side. This area does require an easement, a temporary construction easement. From the district to use this site. We are currently working on the easements with Port District staff and kind of going through the different things that need to be done to acquire those easements. While I have here that we would need to acquire it by September 2023, our hope was that we can do that much sooner than that, and that our hope is that we would be able to have that done before we actually award the contract for the outfall project, which will be in the late June timeframe.
Another quick question. I don't see any temporary sound walls around this. So is this construction, lighter construction, or what's going on there?
Correct. This is much lighter construction. We will just be putting pipe together in this area. When you put together HDPE pipe, high density polyethylene pipe, it's a plastic pipe. You basically melt it together. And so it's really not a very noise intensive operation. So this area we didn't believe would require any sound wall around it. Okay, I want to move to the harbor crossing piece right now. This is kind of a general overview of the harbor crossing. So the white line, the dashed line that you see here coming from the Marina Park area over to the Director Ventura area, that is all going to be underground. That will be directionally drilled. And the main operation will be in Marina Park, and it'll actually be more of a receiving station at the area in the Director Ventura area. There will be a sound wall in the Director Ventura area. There will be some louder sound in that area. So we did want to contain that with a sound wall. It will be much more minimal than what will be going on in Marina Park. But we still wanted to be able to minimize that as best we could. We will actually be assembling pipeline in what is the northbound lane on Anchors Way. I'll talk about it in a little bit more in the next slide to talk about traffic control and how we'll be maintaining two-way traffic there. But what I did want to point out on this slide are the easements that are going to be required for this construction. So we're looking at temporary construction easements. Again, I'm saying secured by September 2023. Again, we would like to push that timeframe forward and actually have them done in June. But we would require those from Director Ventura, because that is the area where we will be working and bringing the horizontal directional at the end of the horizontal directional drill. There will also be an area within the Port District dry boat storage area. We're designating a portion of that as laydown area for the contractor. Again, it is basically storage of pipe so that they can access it easily as they're building the pipe and stretching it along Anchors Way. We'll also be requiring a permanent easement. So that permanent easement will actually be in the pipe alignment that we're showing. So the white area and the dashed white area, again, going through parcel 20, which is Director Ventura, and parcel 10, which is the parking lot to this building and to the Harbor Town Resort. This pipeline will all be underground. There won't be anything above ground, but we will require easement just to designate that it is there. And then, as Mr. Pendleton had indicated, it is our goal to abandon the existing easement, which is the Black Hatch line. That easement is in place for our sewer force main that comes from the Marina Harbor area and pumps sewage to our reclamation plant, and also for the recycled water pipeline. Both of those pipelines will be relocated into the new easement that we are going to be asking for. So to talk a little bit more about proposed traffic control, I wanted to point out a few things here. Again, the red is actually, the dashed is the horizontal directional drill. There will be a piece of the pipe that we will need to build to connect into our existing sewer, our existing recycled water, and also to do the beginning of the rest of the pipeline that will make its way down to our reclamation plant. So as I mentioned, we will be building in the northbound lane of Harbor Boulevard. Our intention is to take out the medians that are running in Anchors Way and create two lanes of traffic so that we'll be able to maintain through most of the construction two lanes. So that there will be, I think when we had originally brought this concept to you in October, we were talking about one-way traffic. There were obviously a number of concerns about having one-way traffic here. We feel that this is a better solution for this area. And so we will do this. And then once we're done with construction here in the next contract, the one that is contract A, the onshore pipeline, we will put the medians back once we're out of this area and return traffic to normal. That being said, there are two times when we will actually need to take a little bit more area for construction. In the November-December timeframe, when we are, after we're done building the pipeline and we are ready to pull it back through our horizontal directional drill to Marina Park, we will need to actually close Anchors Way for, we believe, about 48 hours two times. At this point, we will actually be maintaining traffic into the parking lot for this building and the Harbor Town Resort by opening the bollard area from Beachmont. That will allow traffic in and out of this area. And then traffic that is coming down Anchors Way will need to turn around and go back up the other way. So there will be a period of time when there isn't full access all the way through. Those bollards will be closed back up in the time when we're not using it. The other time that we will actually have to have a difference in our traffic pattern is as our pipeline is crossing underneath Anchors Way, because the existing sewer and the existing recycled water line are on the north side of Anchors Way, and we need to connect into them. And also our new pipeline will be on the north side of Anchors Way. We need to cross Anchors Way to get there. And so what we're proposing for that is one-way traffic. So we would maintain one-way traffic with flaggers so that we would be able to have traffic going through there. It would just be delay, you know, a slight waiting period while traffic goes one time and then the other time. We actually believe, and we've set aside 5 days for each lane that we need to cross. We'll see if the contractor can actually do a little bit faster than that. But we wanted to be realistic and, you know, make sure that we weren't promising something that probably we couldn't do. So I want to move on to contract 19A. This is the temporary boat storage area. So you've obviously realized that as we're using the dry boat storage area and the area in Director Ventura, that there are boats stored in the areas where we are potentially going to be having contractor lay down and doing our horizontal directional drill. We've been working with the Port District staff on, you know, where to relocate existing boats. And parking lot 19A is actually, I think, an ideal spot for the fact that it does keep the boats within the area and they're not taken anywhere away off site. And so that folks will still be close by and be able to access their boats. We're looking to actually start construction and convert this parking lot into the temporary boat storage in the June timeframe. And then once we're done with that, we would relocate boats beginning in August, and then we would store them there until we are done with the work at the dry boat storage area and on Director Ventura. We think that time frame is about January to return boats to their original area. Just to point out a couple of things that we're doing in this area, we are going to be installing fences, access gates, and security, so that the fencing will look somewhat like the dry boat storage area now, and there will be basically garage door openers for those who are have boats stored in this area for them to go ahead and access the their boat in this area. And then we will have additional security cameras also to be able to monitor the parking lot. This construction will actually require a temporary construction easement from the Port District. We would actually like to start construction on this area, like I said, in June of 2023. And we are targeting at this point to return to the May 17th Port Commission meeting for approval of that temporary easement. So to move on to contract A, this is the onshore pipeline area. And this is the pipeline that will start around the dry boat storage area and be built along Anchors Way, Schooner Drive, and Harbor Boulevard. So the area that's circled on this slide, basically along the Anchors Way area, we believe is going to start in January. Our goal is to start this right as we finish up the work for the harbor crossing, so that there is really kind of no delay and we can keep moving on the project and moving out of the area. So we believe that it's going to take about 3 months or so to make it up Anchors Way. We will be maintaining that two-way traffic on Anchors Way. We will not reinstall the medians until after we are through this area. That will be done under this contract, but again, maintaining two-way traffic here. And then, of course, access to the businesses and residents. For the area on Schooner Drive, the proposed traffic control in this area, we're looking to do a lane closure on the north side of Schooner. And as you know, there are two lanes coming in and two lanes going out on Schooner. So we would be maintaining one lane of traffic coming in at this point. We figure that this is approximately 1 month worth of worth of construction. At this point, all of the boats will be out of the 19A temporary area, so there's no reason to worry about access for them because they will already be back in their original spots. And then we'll be looking, of course, to maintain access to the businesses in this area. And then the final phase, final piece of this is actually the Harbor Boulevard piece, going from Schooner down to our reclamation plant, which is approximately Olivas Park Drive. At this point, we think that is probably going to be about a four-month endeavor. We will be looking at a lane closure, one of the two lanes on the southbound side of Harbor Boulevard, and that work would be beginning in May. I know that there are some concerns about noise and dust and those types of things with this project. I did want to just mention some of the mitigation measures that were either mentioned in our EIR or we have included them in our specifications. For the noise, obviously, like I mentioned, we are putting up the sound wall areas. For the Anchors Way pipe installation, I mean, those will be normal working hours that the city would work. So we're trying to limit to that. The delivery times that we're showing here are actually much shorter than what we had in our EIR. Our EIR was much more generous about when the contractor would be able to make deliveries in the area. And then we also do have as a part of our construction management, that person will be designated as the noise disturbance coordinator. That will be a line that is available for folks to call and let us know that, you know, noise has been excessive. The contractor has been there at a time when they're not supposed to be, those types of things. For dust and dirt, we understand that this is an area where, you know, there tends to be a lot of high winds that funnel through. And so there are some things that we put together for this. Most of them are our standards, and they also comply with the Ventura County Air Pollution District standards on how to deal with construction. The one thing that I did want to note that was in our EIR is when there are winds in excess of 25 miles per hour, there is the ability and the discretion to limit the amount of work that's being done so that there is not as much dust and dirt stirred up. And then, of course, for the residences and businesses, maintaining access to the driveways is very important. And I did want to mention that we have been coordinating with our fire department. We understand that the Port District is the first responder to the mobile home park. And, you know, one of the reasons that we were driven to continue to maintain two lanes of traffic, or at least one lane as much as we could. But we are coordinating with the fire department so that we can make sure that we are covering those emergencies as we need to. Just to talk a little bit more about schedules, the first thing I wanted to cover was the permitting for the project. So you can see that we have, you know, six of the eight permits that we currently need. We are scheduled to for hearing at the State Lands Commission on Friday. At this point, we are on their consent calendar. There have been no comments to date, so we are very hopeful of getting approval this Friday for that. We are on the Coastal Commission agenda for the following Friday, April 14th. Again, there are no comments at this point. We will see. It is advertised for another week. So I think that we've had a very good working relationship with Coastal Commission. And so we're very hopeful that we will be able to get approval for our permit on that Friday. The only piece really left at this point for us is the local coastal development permit for the onshore pipeline contract A, and we are in the midst of pursuing that right now. I put up this schedule only more for the graphic area. It's basically a summary of all the things that we've talked about on the previous slides. But I think the thing to note here is that obviously we're looking to start construction in June, and that is with the temporary boat storage. And we are very hopeful that we will be out of this area with our harbor crossing work by the end of January. And then it will be basically pipeline installation after that. And just one more thing to note, you know, we have been doing some extensive outreach. We've talked to every one of these folks at least once. We've done presentations for a number of folks and have been fairly well received. Of course, we're always open to comments and other things that, you know, we can possibly take a look at. So, but we feel like, you know, continued outreach and, you know, just updating folks on, you know, on changes or things that are, you know, as things come along is really important. And so we're very committed to continuing all of this outreach. And that is the end of my presentation. And the one thing that I forgot to do at the very beginning was to introduce all the folks who are here with me. So Gina Dorrington is the Ventura Water Pure General Manager. Jen Buckley is our Senior Communications Specialist, and she has been intimately involved in all of the outreach that we have been doing. And then John Kaufman from HDR, who are our design consultants. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Hey, questions, comments?
First, thank you for that. That was a very thorough presentation. I really appreciate it. I really just have one question.
Yeah.
You talked about closures of Anchors Way twice for 4 to 8 hours.
Yes. Yes.
And then you have another bullet that says driveway to the mobile home park open always.
Yes.
So how do you do those two things?
So the closure on Anchors Way is basically going to, you'll be able to go down Anchors Way pretty much to the dry boat storage area and kind of turn around in the water's edge parking lot and head back up. And then on the other side, you'll be able to access this, you know, this parking lot with the harbor town and, you know, come in through this area and then head back out. And then for Director Ventura, we're actually putting in a temporary access gate for them. They'll be able to access that same way. So we're basically kind of just cutting Anchors Way in half, and you'll be able to access it from both sides. You just won't be able to get across.
Yeah, so you're not closing it on its length. You're closing it in one spot. That...
Correct.
Very good.
Correct.
Thank you. Right? Thank you. And on the slide said also access to driveways, and you just mentioned the waterside too. I know it's a very December is a busy month for a lot of the, I know, and thank you for taking all that into consideration. Also
Absolutely.
For the harbor, for the condominiums next door, certainly a busy time.
Correct.
Thank you for carving out the Parade of Lights. Maybe we keep it to one weekend. It's time to help in that regard. But the idea that we still be able to, businesses will be able to get in, and that 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. was the work notice time.
Yeah, that time frame is for Contract A as we're doing the onshore pipeline. We will on the Marina Park side be working longer hours.
Okay.
So that is actually going to be a 6-day-a-week operation, 10 hours a day. And then actually the work out in the ocean will be 7 days a week, 12 hours. So there are different time frames for different areas and the hours.
Well, I do appreciate you taking the comments from certainly this board previously and from the tenants, master tenants and their partners, to at least be able to keep themselves open. I know, you know, always can look at the big picture down the road, but when you're struggling to get people into the business, it's difficult. So I appreciate all that. And certainly that's an ongoing process.
Absolutely.
And I did see where there was a contact person for the noise.
We haven't set that up yet. We are in the process of, we're out to bid with an request for proposals for construction managers at this point. Once we select someone, one of their staff will be that designee.
Okay. And is it there's somebody in your office that that certainly the businesses can contact or
Absolutely.
Immediately get to, and that will be noticed and well out there?
Absolutely. You'll see on the signs out there information for our contact information. So
okay. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Other questions or comments? Mike?
Hey, Linda, as the other commissioners said, thank you for bringing your team here to give us the update. I've got a couple of specific questions on the presentation. If we go back to the slide that showed the crosshatched entry into the harbor,
yes,
you made the point that you're going to maintain access to the harbor, mm-hmm. but it gets pretty tight for people who have boats in the Keys. Are they going to be able to still take boats in and out of the Keys?
They are going to be able to take boats in and out. It is going to be tight, but they will be.
Okay. Let's go down to the discussion about the horizontal directional drilling. You said that you're going to drill from Marina Park.
Yes.
Towards the harbor underneath parcel 20. Could you Correct. Just talk a little bit about the accuracy of horizontal directional drilling? What's the risk you're going to come up in the wrong spot? How accurate is this technology?
It is actually fairly accurate. John, do you have an answer for the accuracy?
The specs have a tolerance of... Hi, John Kaufman with HDR. The specs have a tolerance for the onshore HDD of plus or minus 5 feet right to left. That can be done. As far as the vertical tolerance, I believe it's a plus 2 and then minus 5. That's for other technical reasons, but it's in the spec that they should be within that 5 foot tolerance. Every day they drill, they're supposed to submit that information to the city and then to the engineer. That information then gets reviewed by our consultant to make sure we're looking at the exact alignment of the pilot bore. So there's checks and balances to make sure it's going correctly.
Okay, that sounds pretty accurate. You're drilling underneath parcel 20, and we talked about the easement on parcel 20.
Correct.
Are there going to be any permanent restrictions placed on parcel 20, permanent restrictions against building structures?
Yeah, we're currently working on that with Director Ventura. The pipe is very, very deep in that area. Mm. And it is, we're working with them on the types of facilities that they're planning on having in that area. It's our understanding that they are looking to put some boat racks in that area that have multiple levels on it. I think the only thing that we're potentially concerned about is a very deep footing at this point. And we're working with them to find out how their features are going to be constructed.
Okay. What do you have a timeline that you expect to come through that with Director?
Again, we would like to be able to finish everything up by the mid to late June timeframe. So,
okay.
And it is an ongoing discussion with them.
Okay. You talked about restoring sites after construction. I assume all the streets, all the medians get restored to current or better conditions, right?
Hopefully better.
That was a leading question.
Yeah. That restoration work will end up happening in contract A. So, you know, we'll take things out in our first contract, but we won't put them back until we're leaving the area on contract A.
Right, understand. All right, a couple more. The timelines that you've developed, are they built conservatively? Have you built in time for bad weather? Certainly this past year, we've had a lot of weather disruptions. Are your timelines conservative, and do they include time for sitting out the rain?
We do have weather built in. So we have tried to take that into account. I think probably, you know, this work that we're doing in the HDD is not quite as weather dependent. Dragging the pipe through the harbor would be something that's weather dependent, but it's a very short period. And so we can kind of target the better weather for that. The open cut pipeline is a little bit different in terms of, you know, being able to work in the weather. And so, you know, we've tried to be conservative on that. I mean, I will say that, you know, these are our best guesses at how the contractor is going to be doing work. It makes kind of logical sense to us in an order that they would want to have their equipment on site and doing work. But, you know, they may actually have something to propose to us that may be slightly different.
Understand. My last question, and it kind of gets back to the discussion about the directors. Mm-hmm. My primary concern is the impact on the businesses during the construction. And so you're reaching out, you're having discussions directly with director.
Absolutely.
Are you also having similar discussions with the mobile home park on impacts and mitigating impacts there?
Yes, we are. We actually did a presentation for them. I want to say it was in February. We had everyone together in their large gathering room there and did a presentation for them and took questions and answers for that. And one of the things that came from that was that we were actually thinking that we might be able to use parking lot 19A as a staging area for our contractor for contract A. We are no longer planning to do that. We're going to use it for the temporary boat storage and get out. So we did try to take some of their concerns into consideration.
Thank you. That's good to hear. I guess the ongoing discussions, but the biggest concern I have is the impact on those businesses. You're doing a lot to mitigate that. I understand that. I hear that. But I also know people will say, oh, geez, I don't want to deal with all that construction stuff. And so they may stay away. So mm-hmm. we just need to continue to have those discussions and make sure the businesses are kept whole.
Correct.
Good luck with the permits. And it sounds like I appreciate this update. Sounds like another update either through Brian or back to the board after you get all their permits might be warranted.
Absolutely. So,
thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
Yeah, just one follow-up sort of comment and question as it related to Parcel 20. So I think from everything I know as it relates to Chair Blumenberg's question about impacts related to easement in terms of construction is that there will be a permanent no-build zone as it relates to the portion of Parcel 20 that the project goes through. What Linda is referring to is the director's plan, their specific plan to provide stacked boat storage within the facility. And there's been a lot of work with respect to what those loads would be. And everything we've heard, the director should be able to proceed with that. There may still be some details that are being worked on there. But I think for transparency purposes, it should be made clear that from what I've been told by the city to date, there would be, if the directors sold in the future or decided to change their plans, 10 years from now or whatever, there would not be an ability to build permanent structures over that easement. Am I correct?
Yeah, our biggest concern at this point is some of the deep foundations that may be needed in the area for a building, and the soils in this area are prone to the liquefaction, and so that would be our major concern at this point, is those deep foundations.
Thank you. So I just want to make it clear that long-term permanent easement that will place limitations on future development, but it doesn't appear that it would place impacts as it relates to the director-specific plans at this time.
So.
Just a couple of questions. Thank you so much for the presentation. I want to make sure that I understand a couple of things. When you said outreach, mm-hmm. you've been doing outreach and you've been well received. To whom are you doing the outreach?
Could you put that slide back up, Jessica? So the folks that are listed here are, basically the folks who are in this general area who we believe are going to be impacted by this project. Obviously we've been working with staff. We've been here to update you. We've done several visits to the marina, the mobile home park. We have talked to the folks in charge of Harbor Town Resort, met with them. We've been working very closely with Director Ventura. We have had a number of group meetings with the Pierpont community, the Ventura Keys community. We've been in touch with Portside and the folks in charge of Four Points.
Just so I'm clear, when you say with Portside, are you talking about with the master tenant, with the people who are living there?
No, we've actually been in touch with the management for Portside.
Okay. So I just me thinking, we're talking about 4 to 5 months of disruption along that road. It actually longer if you count the, mm-hmm. the, so maybe even a full year of disruption along the road on which they live.
Yes.
With potential drilling from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. How are we communicating, or how are you guys communicating with the people who are living in Portside adjacent to the street? Or are you supposing the management is doing that?
So far, we've only been working with the management, but thank you for pointing that out. And we can certainly work with the management folks to get in touch with some of the folks who are along that area.
And how I understand how the easements work, but how are we addressing potential lost profits?
That is actually part of the easements. And when we get a temporary easement, we actually what gets taken into account there is potential lost business. And so there is a consideration for that and compensation as part of an easement.
So is Portside giving an easement?
Portside is not getting an easement. We do not have to have access to their property.
But they have potential for lost profits.
They have potential for lost profits.
How is that addressed?
Yeah, the access to their area is not going to be blocked for that long of a period of time. So
I'm not going to renew my lease. I don't want to live for a year with this kind of dust and noise. So I'm not going to rent. I was thinking about renting there. I'm not interested in renting there with this kind of chaos going on. How does that get accounted for?
I will say honestly that there really isn't a way to account for that.
Okay. And I'm bringing it for a couple reasons. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you saw Ventura North or Harbor North, mm-hmm. A new branding. That is that branding and the ability to build up that side of the harbor is going to be dramatically, I think, postponed or undermined by this important project. So the ability to kind of Portside to build up the businesses in there, to maintain hopefully good and positive relationships with those who are renting there is going to be strained. And that ultimately has an effect on the harbor as well. We work very closely with our partners. How well they do affects how well we do. So I'm having a hard time figuring out how we account for that.
Yeah, this is typical construction, and unfortunately there are impacts to folks along the way. Without having an easement or any of that type of thing there, the city does not typically compensate for work that's done in its right of way.
So it's not considered a taking.
No, we are not taking. I mean, this, you know, the project that we're going to be doing along Anchors Way is the same project that we might be doing in any neighborhood in any part of the city, and, you know, having the same impacts for them.
Okay. So I think one of the things that I really want to make sure that we're doing well, because it will affect relationships with our tenants and those who come here, is that outreach is a little bit more specific than management, to make sure that people who, especially right alongside, are mm-hmm. Notified and aware of what's going to be going on for basically a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why Jen is here tonight with us, you know, just to kind of take to listen to a lot of these comments. She does this sort of thing for a lot of the City Public Works projects. There is a lot more contact with folks once construction starts. So there will definitely be postings and door hangers. And, you know, our part of our goal is to have a meeting so that folks can meet the contractor. So, I mean, we will definitely be ramping up and continuing that during construction.
All right. Oh, is there a bond? Is a bond required by the contractor?
Absolutely. We have a performance bond and also a payment bond from the contractor for this work.
Okay. Thank you. Those are all of my questions. I do want to open it for public comment. Is there any public comment?
I have Michael Sonderman on Zoom. Michael, you can speak.
Thank you. Speaking of Portside, I'm one of the principals of Portside. I did meet with a small group of your team early on about the project. The greater good, I hope, is still in focus, which is creating a independent water source for the city of Ventura. I know tonight we were specifically talking about the discharge aspect of this, but I would like to get some clarification, because the hardships that this project will create on our bottom line is enormous. So as long as the greater good is being accomplished, I think it's worth it. But so I want some clarification that, number one, that the permits that you're getting are for the entire project, which includes a water purification plant that is essential to this endeavor. Number two, I'd like to clarify if you proceed with the I would like clarification that there will be no discharge in the outfall until the water purification plant is online and doing what was discussed in your EIR. I'm very, very concerned. We're near the ocean. The ocean's very important to me personally. I've been on the Long Beach Aquarium Pacific board for 17 years. We're all about the ocean. I'm really concerned about Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary. So I would like to get some clarification that all of this impacts on our bottom line are going to be worth it, and that the entire project is going forward.
Yeah, so I'm happy to address that. Yes, we are moving forward on the total project. This is the first piece that we will be doing. This piece will allow us to actually divert the discharge that is going to the Santa Clara River estuary. That is something that we are under consent decree to do. That time frame is 2025 to have that complete and to be able to comply with the reduced discharges that we're supposed to accomplish by then. We will not have our advanced water purification plant on at that time. It will be under construction still. So there will be a period of time when that tertiary treated water that is going to the estuary will be diverted to the ocean. I want to make clear that there is a permit that allows us to do that. It allows us to currently discharge. That will need to be renewed and updated so that we can do the discharge to the ocean. It requires a certain water quality and that we must comply with or be fined. The ultimate goal, of course, is to take that recycled water and treat it further so that we will be reducing that discharge to the ocean and actually treating that water for potable drinking water. That is the ultimate goal of the project. So when we reach that stage, then the tertiary treated water discharged to the ocean will be reduced. What will be going through the outfall at that point is a much smaller waste stream from our advanced plant.
Any other public comments?
And we also received a written public comment from a mobile home resident, Teresa Peterson. It was sent to the commission and posted on the website.
Thank you. Any additional comments or questions?
Have you seen that comment that we've received? Was that shared?
I did see it, yes.
And so and on that point, will there be a traffic plan that your contractors are going to have to follow?
Correct. They will need to do a haul route for us, so we will be watching that.
Any other questions or comments from the commissioners? Okay. Right.
Yeah, I did have a question for the board. Linda laid out the remaining schedule in terms of permitting State Lands Commission this Friday, and then the Coastal Commission. That was on the
14th. It's next Friday, the 14th.
On the 14th.
Correct.
There's a comment period still open on Coastal Commission.
There is.
On the Lands Commission, it's scheduled for consent calendar.
It is.
As well. So my question to the board is, do they want myself on behalf of the board to submit any public comment to the Coastal Commission regarding this project?
I certainly don't feel it's warranted. I mean, knowing the Coastal Commission, I mean, even if it's, I don't know what, certainly unless we've sort of bought into this and looked at the mitigation, and I feel comfortable personally. I don't know about sending a letter to them because I'm not sure about the outfall and what's going on the ocean floor. I know that they've got people to look at that. So I don't know about the aspects of it, but I personally don't feel we need to send anything.
Anyone else?
I would agree with Brian. I have no problem. I don't think we need anything from the board. And I'm not familiar with what the application says and what's in front of them, but I have faith in staff. If you were to review something and see something you felt was significant, please make that comment. But I didn't hear anything tonight amongst us as commissioners that warrants the letter.
Mike?
I would defer to Brian Brennan in his experience with the California Coastal Commission. I think, certainly, as an engineer, I find it a fascinating project. As a Ventura citizen, I find it an important project. And as a commissioner for this board, as a chairman of this board, I think we see the due diligence is happening, and we're supportive of moving forward. Whether the California Commission needs our input, I think Brian Brennan knows that commission better than any of us. And if he doesn't think it's necessary that we weigh in, I would listen to Brian's advice.
I ditto that. I think the project is needed, particularly for the environment. But in terms of policy or anything like that from the board, I would defer it to our general manager to represent us.
Is that helpful, Brian?
That sounded like no comment.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for the presentation.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right. Last item is the determination to end the state of emergency.
Yes, Madam Vice Chair, we've had several presentations on this. We've been able to manage expenses based on the prior authorizations. We don't feel that there's a need to continue. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. Otherwise, we didn't feel a formal presentation would be needed tonight.
I'll just say before I make a motion, thanks for all the good work from staff. I mean, you guys did a terrific job. We responded, we got on everything quickly, and here we are today in a position to say everything's in order and we can end this. So I would move the recommended action.
Second.
Before we go to a vote, I just want to see if there's any public comment.
There are no public speakers.
Okay, close the public comment session. Any more discussion on the part? This is a roll call vote.
Commissioner Brennan?
Yes.
Commissioner Rainey?
Yes.
Commissioner Stevens?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gardena?
Yes.
And Chair Blumenberg?
Yes.
Vote carries 5-0.
And with that, we will adjourn the April 5th meeting of the Ventura Port District.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Jackie, thank you for stepping in.